The impact of COVID-19 on our economy is amazing, and maybe this is causing us to rethink some policies, possibly. Well, this is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Drew Klein of American for Prosperity. And in fact, Americans for Prosperity, he's the state director specifically in the case of Iowa. Drew, hope you're staying safe from COVID-19, but tell us about Americans for Prosperity and the way in which this virus is impacting the economy and what we can possibly do to kind of rethink things, if you will.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Jerry. Sure. Really appreciate the opportunity. Americans for Prosperity, as an organization, really is on the ground driving positive policy change at the local, state, and federal level. And we try to do that by engaging in, you know, the most pressing issues of the day and connecting citizens to those problems so that they can be effective citizen lobbyists as well. And certainly, the economy and families kind of across the board, all of our lives have been upended with coronavirus and specifically this COVID-19. And so what we've been trying to do, especially in the states, is working with governors and legislatures on what are practical things that we can do right now to help alleviate some of the challenges that we're facing or potentially could face if this spread continues. So we look at some reforms in the healthcare space, and then we look at the regulatory space as well as a big one. And thankfully, we're seeing across the country states step up and make some of those changes, specifically looking at regulations in the healthcare space. And one of the big ones is occupational licensing. So allowing professionals to practice their trade across state lines as the potential for patient population surge in one state or another and healthcare workers may become in short supply. We want to make sure that those individuals are allowed to practice across state lines to meet the needs of patients and Americans across the country. And so that is a big part of what we're driving across a number of other regulatory reforms that we see. And quite frankly, we're hoping that in the long run, not only do we beat, you know, kind of this pandemic, if we think about it from competitive terms, but that we also open the eyes to policymakers at the state level and citizens as well of the potential unintended consequences of some of these regulations to begin with.
Sure. All right, well, so let's take an example. And you've written about this. There's a fellow named Mr. Burt. He went to jail and served his time and learned while he was in prison that he enjoyed cutting men's hair. And so when he got out of prison, he wanted to be a barber. Tell us about this story.
Yeah, so Mr. Burt is a great inspiration. He comes from Waterloo, Iowa, is where we kind of found his story, and that's exactly right. He was a prison barber who had been in and out of incarceration through a lot of his young adult life, and finally, when he made the decision that this was not the life he wanted to live anymore and started thinking about how was he not only going to provide for himself in a lawful way and his family, but also had a desire to give back to his community, barbering really became his passion. And he saw the ability not just to cut people's hair, but to lift their self-esteem, to engage, quite frankly, in some barbershop counseling, and just be a mentor to the men and the boys coming in and out of his barbershop. And so that really became a passion for him. But then he took it to the next level when he decided that, and quite frankly looked around his community and realized there were a lot of people that didn't have either the financial or the physical means to make it into a brick-and-mortar barbershop. And so he wanted to launch a mobile operation to be able to go out and meet the needs in the community and for the most vulnerable to do it at low or no cost at all, to operate it as a nonprofit. And so that's where he ran into his first challenge, is that the state of Iowa actually at the time when he came up with this idea didn't allow for mobile barbershops. The legal definition of a barbershop required it to be a fixed brick and mortar location. And so that's where we were able to step in and partner with him to connect him to lawmakers and eventually to the governor and really work with his community to educate them and train them on how they could impact the legislative process 150 miles away from Waterloo, not just to unlock potential for Mr. Burt, but to unlock his vision for the community and the needs that he's going to be able to meet for those around him. And I think that's a great case study to look at, you know, that's relevant to a number of different industries, a number of different professions all across the country. We know that there are problems in communities, not just in the middle of a pandemic, but all of the time. And a lot of times the answer is to find one, you know, what we would call a social change entrepreneur. He's going to engage in a profitable business, but to meet a very practical need for those around him. You think of, you know, people who may have you know, physical disabilities, maybe we're talking about a veteran community, and maybe it's not even just mobility issues, but it may be, you know, mental health issues or psychological issues around PTSD. Those folks may not want to come into a brick-and-mortar location or may not be able to, but if he can go to their home or pull up in his bus and give those individuals the basic services that they need, then that really lifts the entire community one person at a time.
Okay, so first of all, where is that story right now? I mean, as far as the regulations and let me say this, just to kind of, I don't want to, you know, just to play the other side for a second. Okay,
sure.
There's a reason that there are regulations. Obviously, some regulations can be burdensome, can be just needless red tape, you know, almost like bureaucrats creating jobs for themselves, you know, ad infinitum. On the other hand, and let's, you know, I saw a video very well produced, and it's available, you know, on the internet, and it was all about, you know, how the wet markets in Wuhan without regulation, selling animals that were not in sanitary positions, you know, that were being consumed by human beings. That was the birth of this particular crisis in Wuhan, China, that has now spread to the whole world. So, you know, that you could argue, well, that was, you know, unregulated territory to the nth degree, and now the whole world is suffering. So there's two sides to it, and it's funny. I'm one that hates red tape and, you know, regulations and so forth. But just your comments.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, we're not simply opposed to regulation for the sake of being anarchists or anything along those lines. We believe in smart and targeted regulation, and so. Oftentimes, you know, regulators or even lawmakers to some extent over-regulate as a way to you know, virtue signal that they're trying to protect the public's interest. And we want to be cautious and just, you know, wide-eyed about the impact of what those regulations are and what we're stifling. So we believe in permissionless innovation. We shouldn't, you know, anytime somebody comes up with a new idea, they shouldn't have to run to the government and ask for permission.
Yeah.
But instead, we want a regulatory environment that is targeted to protect public safety. So, you know, maybe that is a level of inspections that are required, or maybe, you know, we require some other form of certification or registration. There are different ways, and I think oftentimes in our economy, what we jump to is just kind of this dichotomy between unregulated and regulated, but we miss that there's a continuum of how we can go about doing that without, you know, shackling entrepreneurs and those that would go out and seek to meet the needs in communities. And I think we also have to, you know, have some faith in the ability of consumers to self-regulate. In today's economy, more and more, I mean, if I'm going to take my family out to a new restaurant, one of the first things I do is I pull them up on Google and I look at the Google reviews. What have other people who have eaten at this facility said about the restaurant. And so we have, in many cases, crowdsourced regulation in a way that's far more efficient than relying on the government to do it. Then we can take a step back and say, well, what is the correct regulatory tool necessary in addition to, you know, all of the publicly available information to target and protect public safety? So maybe if we're talking about barbershops, the question is inspection. Let's make sure that people are maintaining clean facilities and that we don't have, you know, pathogens and things kind of festering in these barbershops. That's a reasonable public health concern, and we can regulate for that. And we can regulate that the same way in a mobile location as we could in a brick-and-mortar location, rather than kind of this heavy-handed rules approach that we were experiencing. And so you started your question by asking, well, where are we at today? And thankfully, you know, in Iowa, the legislature is shut down the same way that they have in many states because of coronavirus, but just a week before they suspended the legislative session, Governor Reynolds actually had the ability to sign that piece of legislation into law.
Oh, wow.
And it went into effect upon enactment. So as of today, assuming he gets his bus licensed through the board as a barbershop, he is good to go and can take his services on the road as soon as the ban on salons and barbershops is lifted from the virus. But again, you think of the need that he's going to be able to meet in the immediate aftermath of what we're experiencing right now. His services are going to be in demand, certainly for the foreseeable future. And we're excited about the populations that he's going to be able to serve.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting, though, too, because it's very important that somebody like that, who's then going to go on to, you know, have contact with other human beings, make sure he's, you know, negative, that is COVID-19 negative. Otherwise, that would be horrible. I mean, I just heard a story about a family in New Jersey that had a dinner party within their own family of, you know, of the extended family, 12 people. And at the end of the day, 4 of them died because of this virus. So it's, and now that obviously that's an extreme case, but this is there's a lot of unknown. We have a couple minutes left. How about some comments about the economy and the long term you know, impact and what we can do even in the short term? Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. And quite frankly, I don't know that we know the answer. And so we try to apply, you know, a set of principles that, you know, that will hopefully help us navigate. We do think, and Americans for Prosperity nationally has, you know, asked the Senate to go ahead and move towards cloture on the relief package that they're considering right now. It's being held up by, you know, by some individuals that is unfortunate. And what we have said is the relief package from the federal government should be timely. It should be targeted on actual harm created by this situation,
right?
And that we should avoid playing politics with it. And so I think that's part of the problem that we see going on with the package right now is that, you know, people are trying to tuck in things that are unrelated to the current, you know, crisis that we face. And they're using this as a political football. They're trying to use the crisis at hand to drive their political agenda. And so that's really unfortunate. We hope that will, you know, that'll end and we'll move forward with some relief. And there does need to be some relief. I think, you know, generally, you know, we want businesses and entrepreneurs to succeed and fail on their merits.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting situation because
10 seconds.
You know, businesses are being put in a position where, you know, failure is imminent and it's not their fault. And so we do think there needs to be some relief in that sense.
Okay. Drew Klein from Americans for Prosperity. The website is AmericansForProsperity.org. Drew, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks so much, Jerry.
All right. Stay safe. Bye-bye.